Puerto Rico still haunted by the effects of Hurricane Maria, and other news this week on today's show.
Nobody really want fuego. Masayo will bring fire downwards in Waco. Buy you some coffee and Lego. Your egos, your sandwich with mayo and two slices of meso. Sitting at home on the couch playing Halo. But the Masayo ain't playing no wagos. Games, women and pants gonna get it. Flames, brothers keeping no commandments. Same, calling our armies a favor. Event with your NATO and soldiers with Dracos. Just tell me, how can you stop a tornado or bury the lava from the volcano? They really can't, bro. They have to pay, bro. The most I say so. So in chase they go. For all the wicked atrocities they owe. For all their wicked atrocities they owe. From San Diego to Trinidad Tobago, I'm spitting these words so our Israelites they know. Keeping commandments the only way we grow, so we can defeat the nation Galileo. Nation Galileo, get it, cause they pale. He's bringing them hell for every bill of sale. So family, just examine yourself. When that fuego come, you don't wanna get left. Forsake your sins so you complete the test. Then you can have complete rest from all your stress. Fight to do right to your very last breath, or stay wicked and receive second death. Destruction of enemies is muy bueno. Make sure that's one of the things that you pray for. Into the kingdom, the sinners, they can't go. The sinners can't go. So we say, hasta luego, hasta luego.
Brothers really don't want fuego. Sisters really don't want fuego. Nobody really want fuego. From the one that's super dead.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Nobody really want fuego.
Hey,
from the one that's super dead.
Fuego.
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 Brother, you don't want that fuego.
You don't want that fuego.
Fuego. Turn it.
You
turn it. Turn it. Oh, praises. Oh, praises. Welcome to the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. I am Captain Yahshua.
Shabbat Shalom, Captain Aparim.
Soldier Daniel.
Hey, Shalom, Most High Christ. Blessed Soldier Ruvain.
Soldier Ruvain, Rue the Brew. When you listen to the opening track every show, it's this brother right here. All right. That's this brother right here. I don't have straight applause, but I haven't worked on the soundboard that much. I got a bunch of stuff on here. Gotta figure it out. Anyway, we are here bringing you another show this week. A lot going on in the news this week. And it's funny, man. I always think about it, like, when the news is active like that, like, you got to know it's probably, like, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 times more things going on that doesn't get reported in the world, right? I don't know. It's just weird because we live in a world where information flows so freely now. Sometimes I imagine, like, can you imagine, like, how back in the day there was no phones, no internet, none of that stuff, right?
And it's
like,
imagine that.
Yeah, and like you heard it by way of somebody that might have happened to been traveling right through or something like that, and it was like, oh, but that was like 8 months ago, and now it's an instant, and we hear about it. So it's good and bad, right? I think there's like information overload, and if you don't have filters, and if you don't have filters that are based on, you know, for us, our filter is the Bible, right? And spiritually, and things happen, and we always try to make hey, sometimes it might not be a spiritual connection, right? Like, it's like when brothers go to movies and be like, yo, what'd you see in the spirit of that movie? I saw a movie.
Right.
It's not always something, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, some brothers just want to look for something all the time.
Right.
That's not having your spiritual filter. That's just you trying to be, you know, you're trying to be deep. But, you know, we have some good talking points for today. So today's show is going to be Puerto Rico, still haunted by the effects of Hurricane Maria, and hopefully we'll be able to get some other news this week. We'll see how the show flows and how much time we spend on Puerto Rico versus other things. I do have an article I definitely want to go over because, often I speak about how the alphabet movement, and by that, for people who don't know, the alphabet movement is LGBTQ, whatever, because they're always adding letters to it.
Elemental P.
Yep, Elemental P. The alphabet movement, the Sodom agenda, okay, and there's an interesting article because I often say how the hypocrisy of what they're doing is that they try to speak of tolerance, but what they mean by tolerance is acceptance, and it's two different things, and I've read the definitions of this on the show. I'll likely bring it out again today, and it's important to know that distinction because they're trying to change the definition of what tolerance means. And I have thoughts on it. I'm not going to go too far into it. But, you know, I saw a video that, you know, it's actually a little older, but it was posted today where what appears to be an Edomite pastor is talking to another gay Edomite pastor. And he was saying a lot of the things that I said. Like, he basically cut this sodomite. And he was saying a lot of things that I typically say. And one of the things he did say that I haven't been able to articulate it, though, and when we get to it, we'll talk about it. He says, the thing that's alarming to him is that for these people that are preaching and trying to enforce tolerance, it seems to be they are becoming the most intolerant when it comes to people who have opposing views to them.
Mm.
And that's my big concern with that. That's the outcry that you have. Like it's my right, it's my ability. Because he was talking, this was from back when the bakers, this was a couple years ago, when the baking company didn't want to bake a wedding cake.
Oh, right,
and they
right.
were trying to take their business from him.
Yeah. Right.
And he asked the pastor directly, do you think they deserve to have their business taken for them because that's their beliefs? And the pastor wouldn't answer it. He was like, I think it's good that people are held accountable for, you know. So there's a lot of elements to it.
Right.
And then they always try to talk about, well, they try to discredit what the Bible says about homosexuality by trying to say that, well, it also talks about slavery and beating, and so you should invalidate the whole book on it. There's just so much hypocrisy to try to justify that
right.
stuff. But we'll talk about it. I want to start with Puerto Rico, and we'll get to that in that article that I'm talking about, which kind of touches on that a little bit. But anyway, just some housekeeping. If you want to get more understanding, more knowledge on your history, all right, your true heritage as an Israelite, you so-called natives, Latin and blacks, you can go to www.israelunite.org. That is israelunite.org. If you want to focus on your Israelite apparel, books, literature, art, music, you can go to www.originalroyalty.com. OriginalRoyalty.com, and you can find all those type of things there. Also, call-in number if you have comments or questions is 516-531-9797, 516-531-9797. You can also find us on Facebook. We do a live feed on our Saturday shows at The Lost 144K. I'm going to go ahead and post some links before I get to the article. If you want to just kind of talk a little bit, Cap, about anything, any thoughts, preliminary, before I start reading?
Yeah, just as a little segue to the article that you're going to be bringing out. It seems like it's been longer, but it hasn't even been a year yet.
Nope.
Since the hurricane happened, right? Because that happened when it's September, right?
September.
September of last year?
September, October.
And it just seems a lot longer, man.
It does.
And I can only imagine how much longer it feels for the people that are actually going through it.
Mm.
You know, because as you're going to read in the article, you know, bring out in the article, I mean, it's still people that who don't have power, you know. It's amazing, this article, because, you know, according to President Trump and the media, you know, a lot less people were killed as a result of that. But they don't factor in the after effects of all that. See, what people fail to realize, Puerto Rico is a very, very, it's like a speck. When you look at it on a map out of the Caribbean islands, it's like a speck.
Mm-hmm.
It's small. I mean, even when you go there, you feel like when we were there, almost a year ago, right?
Almost a year ago. I think it was like end of June, last week of May, beginning of June.
Yeah,
so right about
time. Yeah,
it's around
this
time.
Year to the date. And it felt like everything's like squeezed in, like, you know, like it just feels real congested,
mm-hmm.
you know? I think it only takes, I was speaking to one of the brothers from the IUSC Puerto Rico camp, but I think it takes only 2 hours to go north to south, and like 3 hours, something like that. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I think like if you drive the loop, it's only like, I don't know, less than a day to drive the whole loop.
Yeah.
Like, so if you drive it like across, you know, and then going north to south is only a couple hours.
Yeah. So,
and yeah, and then east to west probably like 3-4 hours.
Yeah, something like that, man. You know, no more than 4 hours east to west, no more than 3 hours north to south, from what I understand.
And the road conditions are good?
They got highways, you know. I mean, you would think, I mean, if you would just drop there, with the exception of like the mountains and stuff, you would probably think you're on, I don't know, I guess the best way I can explain it is like maybe the Bronx River Parkway in New York.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they don't, I mean, the one that goes from San Juan to Ponce is a pretty big highway.
But it's narrow, right? It was only what, like 3 lanes?
No. Well, we didn't go to that one because we didn't go to Ponce. We went
to
the university. I forgot what road we took. But no, I've driven on the one from it's like a 3-lane.
It's three lanes.
Yeah, it might even be four, if I can recall. It's been a long time since I did it, but I mean, Lord's will, we'll know soon. I mean, we're on the schedule to go there again later this year. We're just gonna wait till the hurricanes pass. hurricane season started, so we're gonna wait till the hurricanes.
Well, supposedly, man, this hurricane season is supposed to be worse than last year's.
Right.
Right. You know, for Puerto Rico, that's the information that I've gotten. So.
Right. Right. So. Yeah, so we'll see. I got to pull up the one you sent me, but I'm going to start with a different one that references, I think, the one you sent me. So there's a new study that points to it was an independent study, which a lot of times those things are good because there's no agenda, there's no bias, right? Mm-hmm. Like when you have, you heard the saying, you get to the point of no return. I forgot what the name of the institute is. I got to look it up. Maybe it'll come up in the article. But like the institute that did the first death toll count, to come back later and then adjust it now would make them kind of look bad. So they're hesitant to put that out.
Right, right.
Obviously, anything that's, you know, sanctioned or governed or, you know, statistics by the United States government, they don't want those real numbers coming out, especially to protect their, you know, Their current figurehead that's in office right now, because you know, he went there and it was major news that it was such a mockery. You know, I'm gonna tell you what I took from that when Trump first went down there before I get into this article. I wasn't surprised, and it actually didn't bother me, because I expect that from someone like him, right? Like when he got elected, you know, we read the scripture in Daniel where it talks about, you know, the Lord will set up the basis of men to rule the things. That wasn't surprising to me. What was a little surprising to me, and I say a little because just because of the sheer volume of comments that I saw, that's the thing that always gets me when I read these articles. Mm. The meat and potatoes and the pulse of what people really think is in the comments. And if you read these comments, you can see the clear, you see Deuteronomy 28:37 in action in relating to our people, because they had every byword and proverb. You know, when the scripture talks about hated of all nations for my name's sake, I mean, you see it in the comments. I mean, these people just got hit, and you know, and then we're racist if we freaking get happy that, like, let's say a whole Edomite town was taken out by a tornado, and we're like, yeah, good for them. Right. You see, you guys are evil. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you read and you see, and they're like, you know, to hell with them or whatever, the ignorance. Oh, well, you know, send them illegals back, or, you know, not knowing that, you know, we're citizens. It's kind of like when Paul, when they were persecuting Paul, he was like, I'm a Roman. Oh, you're a Roman? Yeah, I'm of no mean city.
Hey, mind you, they show people that look like you and I.
Yes. Yes.
So,
yeah. Not everybody looks like the one that I'm looking at here. She kind of looks a little bit like my wife as far as like the hair and complexion, right? Not everybody's looking at like that. I mean, you know, Puerto Ricans come, you know, or Ephraim. As light, maybe even lighter. Right. There's some blonde hair, blue eye, like myself and Cap, to as dark as Abiel and darker even, you know, and that goes for most of the so-called Hispanic races, and even for Judah and stuff, you know.
That,
I mean,
yeah,
Bishop
that
posted a picture the other day of Meghan Markle and Mariah Carey. Mm-hmm. Mariah Carey's Jake, Meghan Markle is Esau.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Mariah Carey, I mean, some people are like, yeah, well, she got Jake features, but based on some people out there, you know, her complexion ain't right for that. Hey, my favorite one is Wentworth Miller.
Wentworth
or Rashida Jones.
Oh, Rashida Jones. Right. Rashida Jones. Right. Because mm-hmm. she don't got typical what you would call Negroid features.
No.
No, you know, I mean, the complexion, you could tell it's not, you know, Caucasian, but she got like, my nose is wider and fatter than Rashida Jones and Wentworth Miller.
Yeah, that's Quincy Jones' daughter.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
But Wentworth Miller gets me because the eye color on top of it. And he more Jake than Lenny Kravitz.
Oh, and the brother from that his father was.
Then Bob Marley.
Hill Street Blues.
Oh, that's right.
Cash.
Yes.
Cash.
Yes.
Kevin Cash. Not Kevin
yes.
Cash. That's a basketball player.
Lionel Richie's daughter. Too.
No, I know who you're talking about.
Lionel Richie's daughter's another one. But I think he adopted one of them.
Cash Warren.
Cash Warren.
That's the one you're talking about. Cash
what
Warren.
What did I say? Kevin Cash.
Kevin Cash. It's a new stage name. Yo, that's Judah. That's not even
Judah.
He could pass for like
show his father.
He could pass for like Ephraim, right?
Okay, yeah, he does have a little tint on him. I see.
Yeah, but it's not about
complexion,
right?
That's makeup,
right?
Though, bro.
That's his pops.
Wow.
Yeah,
bro.
Yep. So I mean, it's not about appearance, man. It's about the scripture tells you. That the curses would be a sign and on your seed forever.
Right.
And it was to help you to identify. So, you know, you got all those detractors that say, no, that's not what these curses are for. The scripture clearly tells you that's what they're for. They will be on you for a sign and a wonder. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? So because that was going to be the sign for you to find out and identify who you are today.
Right, describe who you are.
Right. But anyway, I digress a little bit. Let's get back to Puerto Rico. So I found an article here. It says, why the death toll in Puerto Rico matters, right? It says, this week, a Harvard study published in the New England Journal of Medicine estimated that at least 4,645 deaths in Puerto Rico were related to Hurricane Maria and its devastation of the U.S. territory. Now, we did a show on this, I think, late last year or maybe early this year, where we went back and the death toll was probably in the 500s and they said it would be higher. And we explained on that show kind of the double standard in that they're looking at direct deaths by people who died during the storm. And that number might be closer to what the original counts were, right? These people died, based on, you know, that's people who, like, a tree fell on them, floodwaters took them, whatever, all right? But that here's the double standard. When they do the death toll reports here, stateside, right, they count the deaths as a result of the storm, meaning things that these people wouldn't have died if the storm didn't come and cut off access to medical, it didn't cut off access to this or that.
Right.
So really, the death isn't because and they were putting these deaths down as, oh, they died of natural causes. No, it was not natural causes, because if not for the effects of the hurricane and how woefully short the relief efforts fell afterwards, these people wouldn't have died.
Mm-hmm.
So you can attribute this to that, right?
Well, remember, they showed that thing. Or we did a show on it where they showed the natural deaths the year prior.
Right.
And then it went up like almost tripled.
Yeah, that same show, like that when you look at year over year, the deaths that happened, it's like clearly there was an event that triggered something like this. And that event was what they're calling Hurricane Maria. So it says that's 70 times higher than official estimates. The death toll has been emotionally devastating. The Marketplace Weekend team has spent a lot of time reporting from Puerto Rico and talking to U.S. citizens struggling with the aftermath of Maria. And I love how this reporter worded that. She didn't say, I'm talking to Puerto Ricans, because you got to remind people, I was talking to the U.S. citizens that live in Puerto Rico, struggling with the aftermath of Maria. It's also important to have accurate numbers of the impact of Maria, because the island needs to prepare for the hurricane season that begins today.
Mm-hmm.
So this was yesterday.
Oh, so hurricane season started. Wow.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, fam. We ain't going during the hurricane season. Actually, we will be in DR during hurricane season.
Yeah.
Though, so Lord be with us over there. It says Maria was 8 months ago. And recovery on the island is still slow and uneven. Thousands of residents still don't have electricity and are turning to solar energy to power their homes. Edwin Melendez, the director of the Center for Puerto Rican Studies at the City University of New York, shares why he thinks data on Puerto Rico is more important than ever. Puerto Rico already lacks publicly available information. So unfortunately, there's a comment?
Yeah, what's the name of the article that somebody's asking?
Oh, this is, you know what, I can post it. I'm logged in there. I'll post it really quick.
1 second, Brother Amiel.
Okay. That's the article there. So it says, unfortunately, not all the surveys that are conducted in the U.S. are conducted down in Puerto Rico. That's one area where the federal government can intervene. For example, there is no accounting of the cost of transportation in Puerto Rico. It's private information. There is a monopoly. And those are things that should be public. It's public data. And you go down the line, whether it's consumer information, whether it's government expenditures, and there are too many areas that are lacking that data collection. It's hard to know who's in charge and whom to hold accountable. Puerto Rico is a territory. You got to think about that. Territory means ownership. Mm-hmm. All right. So you got to understand that. That's a nice way to say colony. Right. Mm-hmm. So Puerto Rico is a territory. They don't have sovereign powers to change some of the laws that Congress enacts. And therefore, governing authority has to be shared. And the local government has certain latitude, but decision making in Puerto Rico is too much top down. I think we need to encourage more grassroots participation and empowering communities to solve their own problems. But, you know, he's kind of totally going over the fact that it's a territory, which means they got to ask permission. Like, if you want to look at in one of all things as a country, all right, as a almost like a state, but, you know, because it's not a state, Puerto Rico falls with it. That's what he means. It's too much top down. Like, you got to really go up the chain, whereas governments here in the states have the ability to enact their own type of law. Right. Like, I could be here in Arizona and I can open carry or conceal carry without a license. I'll use that as an example. But you go to California and that's not the case. Right. So Arizona can make those laws. The states can make those type of laws. Puerto Rico has very limited latitude to do those sort of things and to make those sort of changes. Everything has to is consent based because it's a territory.
So basically, Puerto Rico is like a foster child to the United States.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. And it's not that Puerto Rico did it because they felt sorry for Puerto Rico. You have to look at the history. And, you know, I know we said we wanted to maybe talk about that book that I have, but it talks about that when they came in and they defeated the Spanish, you know, to take Puerto Rico from the Spanish during the Spanish-American War. You'll find that they went in there and it was never something where they took it and they voted and said, you know, kind of how the states became states. It was conquered and they kept it as a territory and they did it for resources. Right. So the book that I'm talking about is War Against All Puerto Ricans, I've said this before. It's difficult for me to have a lot of extracurricular reading. I often feel guilty that if I'm reading that, I should be reading my Bible more.
Right.
So I don't really do a lot of that sort of stuff. But in skimming through and getting tidbits, the book covers a lot of different things that I'm sure people are not aware of in the history of Puerto Rico. And we're talking about stuff that's fairly recent. I'm not talking about hundreds or even thousands of years ago. You're talking about roughly 100 or less years ago, a lot of these things that were going on in Puerto Rico by the U.S. government, and it goes into the eugenics, the experiments. I mean, you know, everybody, the most famous is obviously the Tuskegee Airmen, but Ephraim suffered from those things as well. They experimented with cancer.
Oh, I got the articles right here.
And sterilization, forced sterilization of the women and everything like that. So, you know, shame on you, brothers and sisters, who try to say that, you know, the so-called Hispanics aren't part of the tribes, because based on the curses, they are, because your whole premise on that is based on how they look and not on what they've been through.
They've been through, right.
And that's the commonality that the scriptures tie, because that's what you cannot forget in coming back to your repentance, is you need to be able to identify with the curses, right?
And that Spanish and American War, it was just, Spain is in Europe, so it was just Esau fighting Esau. That's all it was. Don't get it twisted. Like, it was America fighting against the people, the indigenous people that were living there.
It was one group of Edomites taking a country from another group of Edomites.
And they took it by force, the Spaniards, obviously, in 1492.
Right. So, so he says, otherwise, we're going to continue seeing what's happening. You know, people are migrating out of the island. And Esau knows what they're doing. I was talking about this with Bezalel the other day, and Esau is going to come in and make that one of their resort things. It's going to be a huge, like, golf senior retirement vacation community.
Right.
And it is a tourist driven place, but it's not going to be tourist driven so that you go and you get culture and you see what the people are about. It's going to be their country club.
Right. Hey, they put that big statue of Christopher Columbus on that woman's property that she's had it for generations.
This huge statue, right? It's probably as big, or maybe just slightly, maybe just a little less than the Statue of Liberty, but it's huge.
Wow.
You see it from the ocean and everything like that, right? We went up pretty close to it. Maybe it's slightly smaller than the statue. Let me not exaggerate. Maybe it's a little bit smaller than the statue. But the freaking thing is huge. Mm-hmm. Of Christopher Columbus. And it's her property. She says they didn't ask her permission. And we interviewed her. It's on the documentary, you know, that we have out about our trip to Puerto Rico. And, you know, we asked her how she felt about it anyway. But long story short, I love how Captain Isaac worded it, because and he says it periodically and it makes so much sense because it's such a gut punch. Knowing what Columbus did and what he stood for, and especially in Puerto Rico and Dominican Republic, right, mm-hmm. which he called Hispaniola.
Yeah.
That's like if you put a statue of Hitler in Israel, right? Mm-hmm. And I say that only because they think they're the Jews, right?
Right, exactly.
But that's like putting up Hitler statues. But they would never tolerate that. Yeah. They would never stand for that. There'd be a world outcry, all right? You know, and some would argue, well, Hitler didn't discover anything. Well, neither did Columbus.
Right. That's a good representation. That's a good
So I like when he uses that example, where, like when you see these statues and these monuments go up of known racist and mass murderers of our people, and, you know, people want to rally around and put this thing up. And that's like, again, the closest thing you could think of is that's like putting up a statue of Hitler, you know,
in Israel
or wherever, you know, so-called.
It'd be an outrage.
Outrage. It would be a world outrage. Yes. People would be rallying to their defense.
Right.
But this thing happened quietly in Puerto Rico. Nobody said anything about it. You know, I mean, it's that's kind of what's going on, right? So people are migrating out the island, right? So it says there's a lot of increased poverty, more isolated communities up in the hills, and those are the areas, for example, that are still lacking electricity in many, many parts of the island. New data will help people be better prepared. The problem is that to begin with, the number of dead were undercounted. And I hope that now, after that shock, people are more aware of this. And whether the local authorities or federal government are taking a more proactive role in planning for next storm season, I think the consciousness of people, for example, a lot of attitudes have changed. Before, people were very skeptical about solar energy and water filters. You know, you name it, they were really saying, what do we need that for? Now when you talk to people, it's exactly the opposite. All right, so he's talking about that. I worry that after Maria, the federal aid took a little bit of time to get there. Even troops on the ground took a while to get there. The local response was also problematic. To this day, I haven't seen a comprehensive preparedness plan. I know one was commissioned. It's sort of a secret. No one knows, but it's certainly not being published or revealed. There is no public comment period. So if there is a plan going on, it's certainly not evidence of people who worry about that. You know, the community leadership and elected officials. So they're saying, you know, the issue is, it's important to have this data because that's the type of stuff that'll allocate funding and different things like that, so that as we're coming up on a new hurricane season, that they're more prepared. But they've still yet to recover from the last one, and then now they have the issue of impacts of storm. Now, you know, Maria was I'm not going to say an isolated incident, but, you know, I can't say officially or historically. But I do know from stuff that I vaguely remember reading that, I mean, it was they took like pretty much all of that storm, and that typically doesn't happen. Usually the storms kind of
they didn't go up the whole island.
Yeah. So it's important to know, you know, some people are like, oh, well, you know, that's life. You know, they choose to live there or whatever. You know, that's not the case. So from that perspective, that stuff is important. I'm going to keep looking for some more of the articles. Just feel free to talk. But y'all want to bring out scriptures, whatever.
You notice how Cap, with our people, it's the same story wherever you go, like with Katrina in New Orleans, mm-hmm. or what happened in Haiti. Mm-hmm. It's the same story. They take their time.
New Orleans still, I mean, in those areas where our people were, they're not talking about that, but the effects of what happened there, especially for largely our people there, they're still feeling that today, too. That mm-hmm. wasn't handled right either.
Right.
You know?
Right. But you see how it's the same story over and over again, how they handle us. And if it was their people, it'd be a different story. You know, they would rush to their aid.
Well, you see that when they have tornadoes in the Bible Belt.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So-called Bible
Sandy
Belt.
Sandy Hook, too, right?
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sandy Hook was the shooting.
You're talking about Superstorm Sandy.
Oh, Superstorm Sandy, not Sandy Hook. Sandy, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was still living in New York at that time, and I had a security account guarding a synagogue of all things, right?
Mazel tov.
Yeah, and that was over there by Far Rockaway.
Mm-hmm.
And they got hammered. I got pictures, man, of the houses because they have houses right on the beach out there. Man, them Edomites started making a ruckus. Man, they were there, man, all kind of things, man, hooking them up, man. They put a wall and everything, man. And supposedly it's not going to be toppled, that no water could go over in the near future if there's another hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they speak. That's it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, brothers and sisters in Katrina were speaking. Nothing.
Put them in
nothing
the
at all. Nothing at all, man. Same thing with, I think, with Houston, too. I think it was the same.
Yeah.
Not forget Houston. Yeah. Houston got hit as well. You know, that's just how it is, man. You know, and some people say, oh, well, the infrastructure was very old. Well, why was it old? You know, because we're territory. We ain't got money like that.
You
understand
child.
What I'm saying, man? Yeah, the foster child, man. So we get all secondhand, you know, secondhand, everything secondhand. You know, so, you know, hurricanes happen in the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
So why wasn't proactiveness being you know, executed?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's the question.
Yep.
You know, one of the other things I'm reading, this is another one that I think is pretty good. It's what two CNN reporters want you to know about the island. But she mentioned something, and you hear this a lot, and I think it goes over a lot of people's head. So the question was, why do you feel Americans on the mainland, why does it feel like Americans on the mainland don't care? So they're interviewing a Edomite and Hispanic reporter on it, and they give two different answers, but the Edomite says something interesting. He says, well, first he says he do thinks American care. He says friends and colleagues are always asking me about what's happening here. There's been an outpouring of donations, but he says it's way too easy to treat Puerto Rico like that island over there. It's an obvious disaster here the same way you look at hurricane recovery in Florida. But this is where he says. He says he's also frustrated by the ways in which American politics ignores Puerto Rico. People here are U.S. citizens. But they can't vote for president, and they don't have voting representatives in Congress. He doesn't elaborate more about what that means. But if you're hip to it, you got to understand what it means. The reason, part of the reason the government really doesn't care, outside of just, you know, they see us as a bunch of spicks,
mm-hmm.
all right, there's no skin in the game for them. There's no votes there for president. There's no votes there for seats in Congress. So what do they care? There's nothing in it for them to get support so that they can keep their positions. So there's no incentive for them to do anything in Puerto Rico, to talk about Puerto Rico. Their constituents, where they do have them, probably don't give a crap. So every time they mention that, the significance of that is heavy because it lets you understand the way politics are played. There's no incentive for them to do anything there because it doesn't affect them. It doesn't affect them over here. So that goes over a lot of people's head when it comes to that. Interesting thing, there's another one here when we spoke about the year-over-year data. It says data shows an increase of 1,244 overall deaths in Puerto Rico in September and October 2017 compared with the same 2 months the year earlier and a jump of 1,317 deaths compared with the same 2 months in 2015. So this is what we were talking about, that statistic when we did the show last time, that when you look at the months after and you go year over year, you go back 2-3 years.
Right.
It's a significant increase. So obviously, what happened? What happened was the hurricane.
The hurricane, right?
So it wasn't jiving with what it makes sense. You know, it's all part of them trying to make a narrative. They're trying to make a story, to kind of let themselves off the hook with this stuff.
Uh huh.
You know, the reporters here talking about that, you know, is devastating on the island. There's stuff that you see there. She makes a good thing here. She says, I also worry the crisis here will be forgotten because it will stop shocking people, that they'll feel like they already know that Puerto Rico is suffering and they'd rather tune it out.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I sincerely hope that doesn't happen. Well, it did happen.
Quick, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, yeah, you move on and everybody's talking about LeBron and Steph Curry.
These little booty shorts.
You know,
yeah.
Kanye and everything else.
A wedding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear statistics like power's been restored for more than 99%, but they don't tell you how many thousands still don't.
Right.
You know, and you know that that's a big deal, man. Power, like in today's world, like people aren't used to living without being able to flip switches or push buttons, man.
Right.
So when you don't have those type of comforts, like, you know, I'm a little leery about camping for Tabernacle.
Come on,
that ain't me, bro. That ain't me. Listen, I did it in the military, man, but you know, we were supported there. Like, you know, I was able to go to a tent and they made the food. I mean, it wasn't great, but you know what I'm saying? Like the food.
Did you get you a power spot where you can just plug it up?
Well, I'm gonna be taken care of because I'm gonna be up there with the leadership. So we have a power pad and a generator and stuff like that.
Generator.
You know, but
look at this.
Yeah, so I'm gonna be okay. I was speaking with Deacon Abiel yesterday. I'm gonna be all right. He said, "Nah, you good." He's like, you know,
we know you ain't really the camping type.
I'm not, man. I'm not. I mean, I've done it before. It wasn't bad. You know, I mean, I went, you know, I was able to walk and go, you know, you pay some quarters to take a shower and stuff like that. But you know why? Because it's like if I was put in that situation because something happened, then I would rise to the occasion.
Exactly, right. Eventually.
But like, no. Actually, I would get in. You know, when I get into, you know, crisis mode, you know, I do what I got to do.
Right,
but,
okay.
You know, you're voluntarily telling me to go and like, you know.
Put yourself in crisis mode.
Put myself not even crisis mode. It's like I can't see it as crisis mode because it's like it's on purpose. Like, this is fun. Like, this is supposed to be fun.
So I'm just out here for the fun of it.
No, I'm the type that I'd rather do it with like a camper, you know, so I could go in, sleep in a regular bed, take a shower, have a regular toilet.
Just do it in the backyard.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'll cook out. I mean, I like the cooking part. You know, I'll cook on some flames and, you know, just a grate or something like
Bring
that.
Bring you a shovel because
cool.
You might have to dig a hole.
Nah, I'm going to be good. I'm going to be taken care of. But anyway, listen, I know we're joking about it, but we got people out there, our brothers and sisters in the island that are still suffering with that. I mean, something as simple as clean water. Like, we're so used to just turning on the faucet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can't fathom in our minds and the way we live that there's places where people still got to draw water from a well or from the river.
Right.
You know, and maybe heat it or whatever, you know, to get it to where they want to be. Like, you know, we go up and we just open a fridge, you know, and you can't think of places where that's not a reality for them.
Right.
You know? I mean, we have a toilet and nice tissue and wipes, and we have our strategy, right? So like,
the strategy,
you know, you have your dry wipe and your wet wipes, and you work your thing out. These people got to walk out to a latrine with a hole in the ground, you know, and flies all over the place, you know.
Wow.
See, I know I hit home when I said flies for Captain A.
He was like, yeah, man,
I couldn't imagine. he'd be paranoid, squatting down with the flies all over the place. That thing would piss him off. I know he'll do it. But I mean, maybe that's why you hate it so much.
There was a lot of flies. Them flies were this big.
And they just come and take a bite out of you, right?
Yeah. Well, what it is, camels and the sheep and everything, they just die out in the open. So that's maggots come first from them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they just eating off of that huge meat, camels, sheep, and that's where the anthrax comes in, man. And these flies, they were like huge. They were like. Mm-hmm. Ridiculous, man. Like,
so they were camouflage. They weren't even horse flies. They were camouflage.
Camouflage.
Man.
So she says here, she talked to the mayor of Corozal today. He told me 20-25% of his residents still have tarps or some sort of temporary roof over their homes.
Wow.
Just try to put yourself in that situation. Like, your mind wouldn't be right. You have a leak in your house and you feel like away, you know?
Yeah.
So, she said, I don't think people realize how many people are still struggling to live their daily lives with just running water and power.
I saw that in Baghdad, Cap. When America came and bombed, did their bombing campaigns, you had people, they didn't even have roofs. They had a tarp. I mean, talking about apartment-sized buildings.
Yeah, listen, basic things, 8 months after Maria.
Wow.
8 months, and they're still in these situations like that.
Mm.
And she says people tell her they feel forgotten or abandoned, you know? You know, they go on to talk about the funeral homes, the different investigations that they did, you know, and a lot of times they say they're not surprised by a lot of things. So, you know, they talk about all the data pieces and everything like that. I don't know, man. I pray that all this stuff that happened over there, when we go over there, they're going to be more receptive than they were initially. Things were good. They were living deliciously. That and, you know, we were kind of only in one centralized area. I think we got to go to where it's even poorer, maybe.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll appreciate things a little bit, you know, if we go someplace where it's a little more jacked up, you know.
My affliction, they shall seek me early.
Right, right. You know, get that. Let's look that up because that's important to bring out. And you know, that it saddened us anytime our people are going through something, whether they're repenting or not, whether they know they're Israel or not, you know. Because you don't know in that number who who's meant to repent, who's not. Time and chance is given to all our people for that. But also, we understand that this is how the Lord works, man, and that's when people seek him. You know, go ahead, read that.
This is the book of Hosea, chapter 5, verse 15. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense.
Yeah, because some people try to come and be like, oh, look at your God. Look at what he did to all this or whatever. That's because you're trying to you're going by the world's understanding of God and not the biblical understanding of God. And if you understand the biblical understanding of God, he tells you that he will visit with tempest, with storm, with tumulting, so earthquakes, things like that. So you understand that that's how he rolls. You know, oh, well, how can you serve a power like that? How can you not? How can you not? Spit in the eye of the Lord and he'll freaking send an earthquake just to kill you.
Bruh, just you.
Just to kill you. Yo, and it'll be like that. The whole city will be destroyed.
Right, right.
Everybody will survive. And you'll be like, oh, it's amazing how the death toll was only like two.
Right. There's been stories like
it
that.
It is amazing. Yeah. And not amazing because the way you think, but it's amazing that the Lord would do all that just to take two souls. You know? So, I mean, it's like, really? People, there's always other views and other ways to consider and look at these things, you know? Oh, so you're telling me when babies die horribly and in tragic accidents, that's God? Yeah, because life and death is in his hands.
Yeah, scripture says that, Deuteronomy 32:39.
Yep. Yeah. So go ahead, read.
I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early.
You want God on your side. You want God to protect you. You want to be the one that a tornado's flying all around, sucking everybody up, and you chilling good. He says you have to acknowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to acknowledge your offense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our goal when we go out there and we're preaching and we're trying to wake our people up. All right. This is why we have to go out there and show them their sins. Nobody, oh, you can't judge me, whatever. Nobody wants you to see those things. Right. It's kind of like, I don't know. Let's say like when you're out on a date. Right. And maybe you got something on your tooth and you don't want your date to see something like that. Right. Oh, that's something that, you know, I don't want to reveal.
Right.
That's how people defend their sin. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to see that thing. So it's kind of like, you know, or like, you know, hey, you know, don't come in here. You know, I'm naked. I don't have my towel on or whatever it is. Is that they don't want you to see their sin. This is why that goes with Genesis, with the understanding of when it says they were naked, it was because they were without the laws.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same response. It's not a stretch when you hear that breakdown to understand that, because you see it every day when we're out there in camp and you show people their sins. They act like you just revealed their nakedness,
mm-hmm.
the offense, right? Like if a stranger saw you naked, you'd be bugging out, right? Like, oh, whoa, don't walk in here.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't got my drawers on.
Right.
I'm walking here. And that's what happens when you call them out on their sin,
yep.
And people don't like it.
Yeah, because the Bible's the it says put on the whole armor.
Right.
The Bible,
right.
Like your spiritual garment.
Right.
And that's what it's referring to back with that. They were you're naked without sin. You're naked because you're sinning. All right. Because you don't have this Bible as your clothing.
Exactly. Mm. Now, would you rather to deal with your brother telling you your sin, or would you rather to deal with the Most High? Because, you know, the Most High going to come with.
Yeah, if he got to partake in it.
Yeah, if he got to partake in it, he's going to come with the fire.
But they don't believe it, though. That's the
but
thing.
That's why we out there. We're trying to show
exactly.
you, look, bruh, if you don't repent, if you don't obey these laws, statutes, and commandments, the Most High is coming. And when he show up,
mm-hmm.
you ain't going to like it.
The mm-hmm. scripture in Hosea clearly says that. He says he's going to turn his back. Turn his back means he's going to make you go through things,
mm-hmm.
okay? And those things in your affliction, right, that's the proof right there, and he's going to turn his back, meaning he's going
to
allow everything
anything
to come on you.
Right.
And those everythings are afflictions, and when those afflictions come, you will seek him early.
Oh, yeah.
That's what that's saying. And what happened, you know why that's true? Because what happens when something's going down, especially our people are notorious, especially in Northern Kingdom, start doing the sign of the cross, getting on their knees, praying.
Mm-hmm.
By that time, you know what? You may or may not have mercy.
Right.
And the Lord ain't hearing you because all that stuff, sign of the cross, all this other stuff, you know, he tells you he hears not sinners.
Mm-hmm. Well, Proverbs, right. It says even your prayers are an abomination.
Right.
He that turneth away his ear from hearing the Lord, even his prayers are an abomination.
Right. That 28:9.
Mm-hmm. You know what the issue is, soldiers, that they don't really fear the Lord.
Right,
all right.
That's
really what
it
boils down to.
Right.
That's really what it boils down to. Get Acts 5:29.
Yep, they talk a good game. But they don't fear him.
So this is why it comes to that, where it says they ought to obey God rather than men, right?
Mm-hmm. This is the book. You want me to go?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men.
And there's another one where it talks about, where it says, fear the one that can destroy your soul. Mm-hmm. It's in the New Testament. I can't remember where it is. I'll try to look for it. There's another. But you ought to obey God rather than men. But that's not the case. They're learning God from their pastors. They're not mm-hmm. reading the Bible for themselves. This is what I'm saying. People follow God based on the world's understanding of God and not on the biblical understanding of God, right? Hold on. There's another one I'm looking for.
Right. We always say, you know, it's not about don't do your research. In other words, don't just take our word for it. We're bringing it out from the Bible, but do your own research. We tell that to every brother and sister. Don't just believe. Shame on you if you believe the man, right? Scripture says, let God be true and every man a liar, right? Just do your own research, and you'll see, you know, that everything that we teach straight from the Bible is true.
Right, right. Give me Sirach 28 and 22. And then also 15 and 13.
I got it.
22. Mhm. So people forget that part about fearing God, right? This is what I mean when I say what they say. How could you serve a God that does this, that, and the other? How could you not? How could you not? So read what I told you right there.
This is the book of Sirach, chapter 15, verse 13. The Lord hateth all abominations.
No, I want 28 and 22 first. Yeah, sorry. Oh, okay.
This
I apologize.
Sirach, chapter 28, verse 22. It shall not have rule over them that fear God, neither shall they be burned with the flame thereof.
Now, when you read the whole chapter and the verses preceding that, it's talking specifically about the tongue for a moment, but it also talks about all the sins that come from that. So the rule that it's really talking about over you is sin, right, when you get to the bottom of it. And it says, sin will not have rule over you for them that fear God, right?
Right.
Neither shall they be burned with the flame thereof.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's how you avoid those type of trials and stuff. Give me what you got.
This is the book of Sirach, chapter 15, verse 13. The Lord hateth all abomination.
Oh, wait.
And they that fear God love it not.
So that's what it boils down to. This is why, you know, and this is good because I'm going to segue a little bit into, I'm not going to spend that much more time on the Puerto Rico piece. I'm going to segue a little bit into the other article about the LGBT stuff and abomination, because it says the Lord hateth all abomination and they that fear God love it not.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a stand that has to be made, all right? We're not supposed to be accepting of that unless you want to repent of it, right? Then it's different. Then you dealt with a little compassion, all right? But it's within our grounds and our rights here in America, right? This is something that we don't take that many people take for granted, all right? That you're entitled to that. But the way this place moves, that thing don't matter. It don't matter what laws are written. It don't matter none of that stuff, because you'll still be ostracized and condemned in different ways. They wanted to take away, you know, these people's businesses for not wanting to do a wedding cake for a couple of months.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, I know that's older news, but it's going to bring me to the article that I want to bring out. Get Tobit 4:21 before we get to that. And then Ecclesiastes 12:13, because as we're talking about fear.
Tobit 4:21.
Tobit 4:21, please.
All right. This is the book of Tobit, chapter 4, verse 21. And fear not, my son, that we are made poor, for thou hast much wealth.
Wait, hold on. Tobit 4:21. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, that's it.
For thou hast much wealth. If thou fear God and depart from all sin, and do that which is pleasing in his sight.
Right, so, you know, his son was stressing out because they were in a good estate, and then things, they started to catch hell. Mm. He says, fear not, because if you fear God, all right, and depart from all sin. So you can't just fear God. It says you have to depart from all sin. Now, this applies to everything, not just as far as how you're doing in life and how things are going,
mm-hmm.
all right, as far as financially. But he says, if you do that's pleasing in his sight, which is fear him and depart from all sin, all right, you don't have to worry about anything. How do we know this? Go ahead, read Ecclesiastes 12:13.
This is the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
That's the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's the same thing in Tobit when he said, fear God and depart from all sin. because sin is transgression of the law. So it's just being said in a different way. All right. Fear God and keep his commandments and everything else going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
So when Christians say let go and let God, this is really what it means. It means fear him and keep his commandments,
right.
And then let him do what he's going to do in your life, because it's going to be, listen, we can't do nothing against the Lord, right? Only for him. It says you can't do anything against the truth, but only for it. All right. So fear God, keep his commandments. You play your position. You stay in your lane, good or bad, whatever comes on you. Then you got, you know, it's almost like you feel confident knowing you shouldn't have to question why you're ever going through something,
right?
If you're following the prescribed program.
Right.
And that means whether good or bad, because that's where the faith comes in. Because if it's bad, guess what? You deserve it. If it's good, guess what? You deserve it.
Uh-huh.
And it don't mean that it's punishment. Maybe it's something that's being purged out of you if it's bad. So it's people don't understand that piece. So, you know, man, you triggered a lot in my head when you said that, like, you know, about, you know, them not wondering and they still won't serve the Lord going
right.
through all this
uh-huh.
and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yo, how do you, like, really? How can you not? How can you not knowing those things? So let me look for this other article. And y'all can talk if you want or whatever, if you got something that you want to bring out.
If they continue in their ways, he's going to keep afflicting us. I mean, that's the way the Most High works.
Yeah, well, you understand if that's why we went into captivity, right? I mean,
go ahead.
I would just say for the brothers and sisters that are still on the fence about what it is we're saying, number one, the Bible tells you to prove all things. So, you know, you should be jotting these scriptures down and going back and reading it on your own time. And ask the Lord to deal with you in a way to show you these things that we're bringing out. Because our job is to go out into the highways and the hedges to compel our people to remember and bethink who they are, because we're trying to get the kingdom of heaven. All right? We know in these last days that our oppressors, their whole job is to make sure that we do not regain rulership.
Mm-hmm.
So when you know that they're working against us, you need to be on the side of the people that's working for you. That's why we spend our Fridays, our Saturdays, all throughout the week, spreading this word from through the four corners of the earth to let our people know who they are according to what this Bible says. All right? And we really have to start understanding these things so we can get out of these conditions.
All praises.
I was about to move on from the Puerto Rico thing, but if you got anything you want to say, Cap, I'm looking for the article before I go.
Yeah, no, just basically, I mean, again, you know, we live in a bubble here in America. Captain always says that it's so true. We're fed the news that they want us to see and hear at the end of the day, okay? And the fact that this isn't even, you know, in the news, these are like alternative media type journalists. You know, there's an Edomite that I've been following him since Hurricane Maria started, named David something. Okay, he's on Facebook. I follow him on Facebook. And he's actually one of the few that's actually reporting the damage that Maria has done. And
oh, I know who you're talking about.
David Begnon or something like that. And he's actually, see, true journalism is gone from America.
Mm-hmm.
To be a journalist, you're supposed to be neutral, and you're supposed to report good, bad, or indifference. All right? Fox News had a slogan for a while. I don't know if they still do, fair and balanced.
Clearly not.
You know? Mm. No. Okay? Because you're clearly a conservative station, just like CNN is clearly a liberal station. So you're going to talk everything that has to favor your beliefs, your belief system. You know? And it's just a complete mockery. I mean, when you look at the people that own the major news outlets
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that, it's all about the higher ups, okay? That have more power than the actual president.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So they're gonna filter. They're gonna let out whatever they want to let out. Cap brought up an example. Back in the day, it's hard to imagine that the Pony Express, okay, took 7 days or something like that for you to get your mail.
Right.
Same way information used to travel until the telegraph came in.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then from the telegraph, the phone, you know, and all that stuff. But, you know, and then by the time you get it, right, you're always going to put your own spin on it.
Right.
Right. That's where that game telephone when you were a kid, by the time the message starts here, by the time it gets down to the last person,
mm-hmm.
it's nothing how the message started.
Right.
Right. You forget things,
right.
You know, et cetera, et cetera. So the fact that, you know, that this is, See, it's one of those things, and it's always been this way, and it's in the scriptures based, you know, it's all scriptural. You know, they want to be around us, they want to cleave onto us, but they hate us.
One of them, would they rather, would they feel comfortable living our life for a day?
No.
30 minutes.
Hey, there was a show where they did that.
Remember that?
With a white family, just a black, and a black. It's crazy because it's like the white family refused to see what you could see plainly on camera, how he was treated as a black person. And like, you know, he wouldn't buy into the whole thing. And, it was interesting. It was interesting. I thought they would do further seasons of it, but they never did.
No.
Hey, it's funny, man, but Eddie Murphy years ago, when he was on Saturday Night Live, he dressed up supposedly like a Caucasian, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny, man. He was like, I noticed that white people give things to each other. He was going to the stores and they were giving him stuff for free. When the Judah brother got off the bus on the bus stop, they started partying. On the regular, yo, you got the Eddie Murphy scam. I'm telling you, bro, man. And he living his life as a Caucasian person was the whole, you know, was the skit. And they were like, no, take it.
Please. Yeah, I remember that.
He says, I found out that white people give things to each
other. Oh, man.
You know, so that's basically how it is, man. You know, I mean, no matter how you slice it, man. And this president has made it even more pronounced, man. I forget. I was out here, as a matter of fact. This Edomite woman, she just came out the blue. She was in the store. She went, yes, thank God, no more Obama. We got Trump. I mean, like, real, and like, you could tell, but she wasn't smiling or nothing. She was like, real, like,
relieved.
She just came out the blue and did that. I was like, what the hell? I'm behind on the line. I'm like, what the hell's wrong with this woman, man?
Wow.
But that's the truth.
They hate us, man. They hate us. I mean, we've gone over it. I think we've done like two or three shows in the past like 2 months at least where we've touched on that stuff. I mean, so with the lawyer over there in New York.
Right.
Yeah, man.
Hey, I'm not even talking about the tweet with Roseanne.
Oh, man.
You know?
I mentioned that
in the new moon. And then they canceled her show over it.
Hey,
you know?
And
let me tell you something. I feel mixed on that because, you know, it's good because usually we get the sour end of the stick. So if they canceled her show, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, that goes to show you, right? Like if we speak out, then they're going to try to do stuff to us. So,
yeah, right.
So it's almost like
right.
She shouldn't necessarily have to lose her show.
They're the four guys. For political
right.
correctness.
Right.
Yeah. But then,
right.
but remember, so be careful what you wish for because it's gonna go both ways.
Right. And for those who don't know, I get what Captain A's saying. What Captain A's saying, I'm going to do a yowsop here. They didn't get that, Cap, when you said they're the four guys. They don't understand what that means. That means
I know
she's the fall guy, so they could say, well, what are you talking about? We took her show.
Yeah.
You're telling me we don't act on things like that? We don't tolerate racism by any measure. Mm-hmm.
But guess what? Right. Guess what? How crafty that is. Part of the crafty council. All that does is put our people to sleep.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, you're right. They took Roseanne off.
They did.
Yeah.
Well,
you know what? Maybe I better shut up. And you know why our people feel that way? Because they don't understand that we're more powerful when we're applying this Bible. They don't understand that we're the people of the book. And that stuff that they're doing is actually mockery.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because we're supposed to be governing.
Mm-hmm.
Not them. They're still dictating what's going to go on
mm-hmm.
in our lives, no matter what. We're still in one of all things, even though they canceled her show. Okay,
still.
So
she's still better off than we are.
They'll give us something else.
Hey, but notice that they were saying it's not lost on political pundits. The White House won't make any statement like condemning what she said.
Trump refused. He tippy-toed around that whole thing.
Yes,
I've been following
did.
All
yes,
that. You know,
did.
I follow the news, man. He tippy-toed. He hasn't made. He hasn't spoke. It's one of those things. I can neither confirm nor deny.
Hey, it's funny that you mentioned him, man. This is just a quick little aside. So I'm watching, they have him on video. I'm watching a video of him, right? And he's talking about Kim Jong-un gave him a letter. So in the video, he's talking about, he goes, it's a great letter. He goes, it was such a nice letter that he sent me. He goes, you guys would like to see the letter, right? He goes, you know, yeah, I'm sure you would. They were like, well, what was in the letter? He was like, it was so great. It was wonderful, blah, blah, blah. And then they asked him another question, and he was like, well, I didn't even open the letter yet. And he was like, you know, I spoke to this guy in the same interview, like moments later.
He's an idiot.
And one of the reporters tried to follow up with him, and they were like, wait, so you didn't read the letter? You just said it was a nice letter.
You know,
and then he goes, all right, guys, I'll see you later.
Wow. You know how they try to cover up his incompetence by saying that's all his negotiation tactics. This is what's the new thing.
Oh,
now.
That's the new thing.
Oh, the thing is, he walked away. Any good negotiator will walk away when things aren't going right. No, because alternative media news that has done investigations said that, no, they weren't feeling comfortable with they're demanding too much.
Mm-hmm.
America is a man demanding too much. And he's like, and why he walked away was because based on the alternative media articles, okay, he's not giving up his nukes.
No.
He ain't foolish.
No.
You think he's been meeting, he flew to China, met with the president of China Xi,
mm-hmm.
right? You think that's an older man,
mm-hmm.
okay, that's been around. That leading dynasties. You think they didn't tell him, don't be foolish.
That's right.
And then they had the audacity, not to digress, Cap, but then they had the audacity, the president and the security advisor, Bolton, who's a warmonger, both of them are, but especially this Bolton guy, to say, well, we plan on following the Libyan tactic.
Mm.
What are you telling him with that?
Exactly.
Who the hell's going to come and negotiate?
Nobody.
You know what the Libyan tactic is. Gaddafi gave up his nukes, and then not too long after that, he was overthrown because he was no longer a threat.
Right. Right.
Oh, I'm telling you, it's BS, man. It is BS, man. And you talk about the internet. I mean, we're in an age where it's just, it's overwhelming the amount of, you got to really look at things with a grain of salt and pick and choose the articles. You got to look at, even the ones you choose, you got to look at them with a grain of salt because there's fabrication and everything. You know, I tell you, man, it
goes back to what I was saying at the beginning. You gotta filter the news through your spiritual eyes.
Yeah,
so,
man.
This is why in Ecclesiastes, I think the one right before 12 and 13, it says, "Of making many books, there is no end." Mm-hmm. You can't just think of that in context of books. In this day and age, that deals with all the information. Because remember, books was the primary information back then. That was news. There was no newspaper. There was no this. The books were written about things.
Right.
So I would relate that today to the flow of information and the way things happen now. And, you know, of making much news, there is no end. And it's a weariness of the flesh. You can drive yourself crazy if you don't use the scriptures first. That needs to be your filter. And it's real simple. The filter is fearing God and keeping his commandments. Right? And if you're in that mindset, then everything you read and everything you see, the understanding's increased, and you're able to look at these things and either just acknowledge them for what they are, right? This is the script playing out, right? Or look at them and say, hey, this might be something kind of major. What does it mean for me? Right? Because you got people who look at news and things like that, and it's good that you're aware of those things, but without the action and repentance and sense of urgency behind that, it means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it goes back to what we always talk about when we bring out historically. For thousands of years, the Israelites knew who they were. They had the laws, and they kept breaking them. So being aware is not enough. Being aware is not enough. There's action that has to be behind that.
You know, again, not that it's hard, right? Because we obviously are repenting. You know, we took the first steps and we continue to repent. But based on what Cap'n just brought out, we've done it based on Hebrews 10:1, right? Faith.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Of the substance of things not seen. Our forefathers saw this.
Mm-hmm.
They saw, they knew the other nations, even to this day, again, not everybody like we were talking earlier before the show, you know, but, you know, a lot of people do know, scholarly people and people that are in the know and historians, they know that we're God's chosen. They know that God is only for us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They just live on the lie because, again, why reveal something? Why give up a good thing? Right.
Right.
But our forefathers saw parting of seas. We speak about this all the time, and it always amazes us even to this day. They saw that sea part. That sea wasn't like a river was parting.
Mm-mm.
This is a sea. They saw the fire. They saw the 10 plagues.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Paul says that. He goes, how you were all under the cloud.
Hey,
right?
They saw Moses that he had to put a veil because over his face.
They couldn't see him. He was so illuminated by being in the Lord's presence. That wasn't even God. It was just his presence.
Just the presence, man.
They
walked with Christ.
They knew he was real.
Yeah, they knew he was real. They walked with Christ, yet they still went ahead and did him like we do our people today, man, crucified him and chose a murderer over him. Although we know that's prophecy, right?
Right. They didn't have to guess if the Most High was real. They knew.
They knew. It was
knew.
Understood. When you read the Bible,
and
everybody knew that God was our God. That's it.
Right.
It was understood, and they still went ahead and took on Greekish fashions. when you read in the Maccabees. They still went ahead and started following Gentile customs. That's why they were called Gentiles and they were called Greeks. They saw all of this. That's why there's a scripture that says, I don't know if y'all got it, not seeing those things, we're still going to repent. I think
right.
It's maybe in Isaiah, Jeremiah.
Right. I was thinking of the same one. Exactly. Yeah. That's what it means. Because some people try to say that means the other nations.
No.
That's not what that's talking about. That's talking about this generation that didn't see those things, that didn't witness those miracles,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to believe. And we're going
to
be the ones.
And on the flip side, though, we as teachers, as prophets, we have to recognize that. That understand we're trying to bring a book and a heritage back to a people that haven't seen the reality of it. You're telling our people, and Deacon Ace have always brought this up, and I always remember this, man, from years ago. He says, you're trying to tell our people that Christ is black. And they've always believed him to be Caucasian. I mean, think about that. That sounds very simple, right? Sounds rudimentary, right, for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
But think about the power of that. You're twisting our people's paradigm. It's a paradigm shift. That we're doing. We're actually, for lack of a better word, quote unquote, brainwashing. What? Washing the brains of all the junk that our people have been indoctrinated with.
That's right.
You know, so we have to be patient with our brothers and sisters is the point that I'm making out of all of this.
Right.
Okay. You know, no longer the years ago, okay, of, shake the hand, but out of love and patience, we got to be teachers.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Teachers. And a teacher takes the time. You ask the questions. You make this book. I keep saying this has been the theme that's just been coming up. We got to make this Bible real.
Right.
Because it's a fantasy to our people. And we got to show them. Through proof, and this is why we use a cross reference with other historical, geographical, and archaeological books and findings. Okay, this is the one true book. But to go ahead and for those that are really believe it's a fairy tale, okay, well, look, you don't believe this. Let me show you that other nations know that that the blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans are God's chosen. There's just no two ways about it. There's just too much archaeological, geographical artifacts, facts, proof. Book after book after book written that we're the Israelites. Our customs, everything. Everything. When you read this Bible, even the way we, even the negative parts of how we act with each other. No other nation treats each other like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about in the book of Proverbs, the brother standing waiting in the corner, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, to rob you. Okay?
That's that
people. Yeah, I know the scripture I'm talking about.
Yep.
Yeah. They're laying wait. Okay? It talks about creeping.
Can't.
Our people creep. Committing adultery.
You brought that out. There's a video of the prophets when we were in Mississippi a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
Saw that?
I saw that.
It was a Jake brother going
professing
Facebook
to be a Christian,
live.
And he was trying to like call. He was like on live talking about, hey, where the Crips at? Where the Bloods at?
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, I saw it.
He was like, where the
car. He followed us
at?
For an hour,
an
bro.
Hour.
And you notice how, you know, and I'm glad you brought that up real quick, okay? Not to get the dude any light, man, because he an idiot. But at the end of the day, all that smack he was talking, right?
Yep.
And I'm going to get out.
Nah, I'm scared. They're too deep.
Bro, the simplicity, okay, that is in our people is ridiculous. We are children. And I was a grown-ass man. We are children.
And then Captain MSI was posting, like, I think a day later, there was, like, a big, like, a shooting, like, right on the street in the same neighborhood.
In the same neighborhood.
And
somebody got killed.
Killing their own people.
That was he followed you in the rain.
Yeah, in the rain
for an hour. That's a 54-minute video, man.
But he knew we were the Israelites, though.
He knew that. But if you notice how the spirit would change when the word was coming out, he was like, "My mama ain't teach me that." Okay, it just goes to show you our people are jacked up. And he was, I think, doing deals, drug deals.
Yeah,
because people were coming in and out the car.
That's exactly what he was doing. Talking about he go pull his 40 cal out if one of the brothers roll up on the car.
And then he had a lighter.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Our people are sent. They're ignorant, bro. Our people are ignorant, man. You know, and you know what, man? That brother could repent.
He could.
Yeah.
That brother could repent, and Lord willing, he does, right?
Or somebody on the video.
Or somebody, right. What was made for evil was really for good.
Hey, Paul had a murderous spirit. He was killing our
people.
He had
that. You know what? That's a good point, Cap.
That's true.
Because if you think about it, all he was a creep of today, right?
Yeah.
If you think about it,
yeah.
Right? Because why was he killing his own people? They weren't doing anything wrong, but following after Christ.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Same exact thing that brother wanted to do. Or rather, I should say Saul was like that.
Saul.
Because
Saul.
He left all that behind.
That's a good point.
He left all
that behind. Saul. Okay, but guess what? Raheem, let's say that's his name. He could leave all that behind and pick up an Israel name and even change his last name to Israel.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Legally.
Yep.
Just goes to show, that's a great point that you brought up, Cap, because matter of fact, the Pharisees were the Crips.
Yeah.
And the Sadducees were the Bloods.
They were the Crips of those days, right?
Well, think about that.
You have their scenes, too.
And the scribes were folks.
And folks. Yeah, folks. Yeah, that's the old one right there.
Hey, let me jump on this article, because we're running out of time here, right? So I want to talk about
Pitchfork.
Yeah.
So apparently there's this soccer player, right? She looks like she might be Jake. I mean, you know, one of her parents is light-skinned. But anyway, it says Hinkle's refusal to play for USWNT, so I think that's like the women's soccer team, over Pride Month jersey offers opportunity for different kinds of understanding. So I didn't know about this. So this is something that's a little underreported. So this sister took a stand and said, I'm not going to play for the U.S. women's soccer team. Because there was two games they were going to wear jerseys honoring Pride Day.
Pride Day? What do you mean?
Pride Month? Recognizing Pride Month. Gay Pride.
Oh, Gay Pride. Okay. That's what I thought you meant, but I wasn't.
It's the kind of headline that can lead to more ugliness than understanding. Mm-hmm. Women's soccer star turns down USWNT invite over Pride Month jersey. Mm-hmm. The decision by Jaylene Hinkle last year didn't come with an explanation at the time. The 25-year-old defender for the North Carolina Courage told Christian talk show The 700 Club this week that she turned down a 2017 call-up to the U.S. national team because of the jersey the team wore for two friendlies to honor the LGBTQ community. Hinkle said she felt so convinced in my spirit that it wasn't my job to wear this jersey. Yo, let me tell you this.
She said it like
this,
that?
Yes.
She was convinced in her spirit?
Yes.
Oh, get her a flyer.
Yeah, get her a flyer.
Let me tell you, this sister right here, I'm going to tell you something. Brothers who waver on jobs, on working on Sabbath, on anything else, this sister took a stand. But that's a dream for people to be invited to represent the country and play for the women's national team. And she could have trimmed her ways and said, I've worked so hard for this all my life to do this. I'm going to wear the jerseys.
She could have said
two times. Right. You know what she would have done? Like some of our brothers and sisters in here. The Lord will forgive me. He knows my heart.
There you go.
There you go. She could have said, well, that's not me. So let them do it themselves.
Hey, that's another,
right?
Yeah, that's another way to do
because
it.
In the world, I'll be honest with you. Before I started the path of repentance. That was my attitude. I was like, yo, I know I ain't gay,
yeah,
man,
just don't
step to me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That was my mentality.
Says news travels fast. She received some boos on Wednesday in Portland when her courage beat the thorns. Some in the crowd waved rainbow flags. One fan brought a banner saying personal reasons in rainbow colors. A clapback to the original reason for Hinkle's choice. So she tried to be like low key about it and was like, you know, I have personal reasons why I'm not going to take the invite for the team.
Right.
But they kept pressing her. Mm-hmm. So she made a statement. Hinkle didn't do any interviews after the match. Some will dismiss her as a homophobe or deride her as someone whose fundamentalist views equate to contempt for an entire group of people. And you want to know something? I have contempt for those who don't want to repent that are homo.
Right.
All right. If you're Israel, if you're native, Hispanic, you know, Latin, all right, part of those scattered, right? Well, all the different terms, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're a homo and you refuse to repent, then yes, I have contempt for you because the Lord has contempt for you.
Right, because we're showing you there's a way out of that.
But I don't have contempt for you just because you're gay, because you can repent of that.
Sure.
You don't know. You don't understand, all right? But once you've been given that understanding and you still refuse to be that way, then yes, I will go on record
because
there's contempt.
Right,
because
that could be, right? We know being a drunkard, an alcoholic, is a sin,
mm-hmm.
right? But we don't have contempt.
We went over
for
the scriptures. Was it just last week?
Yeah,
I think about the abusers of themselves.
Yeah. Last week,
following themselves with mankind and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's the Lord speaking.
Right.
So
yeah.
I choose God's side.
That's right.
Right.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
If that's what He says, then I'm down with what He says.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Last night when we were doing the flyer mission, it was so many of our people that were sodomites, and guess what we were doing? Passing out the flyers, going through, showing them, you know, what their history is.
We've had brothers and sisters that were in that lifestyle that repented and are still living their life righteously according to
all
the scriptures.
So that means it can be.
And Israel united in Christ that we know of, Captain. You know that for a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Even have even gotten married.
Mm. So that means it can be done.
To the opposite sex.
Yes.
All praise.
But those who want context can listen to her story and then listen to a thoughtful reply. First of all, this shouldn't be cast as unpatriotic any more than Colin Kaepernick's decision to kneel during the national anthem should be cast as unpatriotic. So this reporter seems to be in tune with both of these people. He doesn't think what Kaepernick did was unpatriotic either. Everybody wants to lose sight of what the real point of what he was doing was.
Mm-hmm.
Hinkle appreciates the honor of playing for the U.S. I'm being invited to play the game I love for the country, she told CBN.com. There's an emblem of the U.S. flag on my chest. That's huge. She prayed on her decision for 3 days, and she knew she was giving up the one dream little girls dream about their entire life.
That's heavy, man.
Oh, she knew she may not get another chance, and she hasn't been called back up to the team again since.
And she won't.
It wasn't a hasty decision. What went into her decision was a lifetime commitment to her faith, and one that caused her some struggle in college at Texas Tech. She was miserable at times because she would go out on a Saturday night and then go to church on Sunday morning, wanting to fit into both worlds, but wondering if she fit in either.
Can't serve two masters, man.
No, but listen how he uses the term world. But then everybody has 3:16 confused that it means everybody. Right? They have John 3:16 confused that world means everybody.
Yeah. Right? At sports events.
Yeah. Right? But he says that she was in the world of wanting to be in the clubs and all that stuff, but then in the world of being in her faith. And she struggled with that because that's what the college life is about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Against this backdrop, she got news that doctors found a blood clot in her knee. There was a chance she needed a stent, which would threaten her entire career. Everything just came crashing down, she said. She got what her doctor called a miracle. It turned out she didn't need the stent. She was clear to continue with soccer. It led her to the pros and some appearances on the national team. It led her to this choice, which came from her desire to show obedience to her faith and scripture. To her, it was a chance to show gratitude. It made emotional and moral sense. All right?
Hey, so, and you know she was good, right? Because she made the Nationals, just like we know Colin Kaepernick was good, right?
For the women's pros.
I know.
And was invited.
But watch them spin it.
She didn't try out. She was invited to the women's national team.
Watch them spin it. Oh, well, she's not that good. You know, the injuries. I'm telling you, man. Just like
she
they did with Kaepernick.
Yeah, they will. They will try to. Yeah. And listen, Kaepernick. Led them to a couple of Super Bowls, right?
Yeah.
Or it was at least one, all right? And he's definitely better than a lot of the quarterbacks
now. As a matter of fact, they put those statistics on paper.
I think he has a good chance with his collusion case. We'll see. But come on, man. You telling me, bro, that's collusion and a half because, yo, you can be a woman beater. You can be a fornicator. You could be a mole. You could be a gangster, drug dealer, whatever. And teams will take a chance on you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This dude, bro, took a stand for his people to bring awareness to something that people didn't want to talk about, and it worked.
Yo, Jerry Rice knocked out his wife.
And they took the chance
on
him.
They took the chance on him.
Anyway, let me get back to this. It also resonated with teammate Jessica McDonald. She's high on her faith, and in my opinion, I think that's absolutely incredible. If she's for God, that's fine. That's great. If that's what keeps her going in life and keeps positivity in life, then let that be. Freedom of religion is one of the founding principles of this country, and Hinkle is an example of that. So this gets to the meat and potatoes of what I want to talk about in this article. All right. It's almost as if that doesn't matter now with the Sodom agenda. Right.
Right.
That freedom of religion,
right,
was the founding principle of this, one of the founding principles of this country. In response, SB Nation blogger Caitlin Best wrote a heartfelt open letter to Hinkle. So I guess this Caitlin Best is gay. In it, she asked Hinkle to put herself in the writer's shoes and to try to understand what years and years of constant messages, small and large, direct and indirect, this truth you know about yourself deep in your guts. The truth she's talking about is that she's gay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not totally unlike how you describe your relationship with God. Is wrong and a mistake something to hide and to hide from? Well, it is, because the Bible tells you that. And we know this, right? Part of Best's point is that the disdain Hinkle felt this week is something the members of the LGBTQ LMNOP community feel all of their lives. For Hinkle, there is the safe haven of the church. For many like Best, there is no safe haven. And Best points out how it's much worse beyond American borders. Your discomfort is nothing compared to the suffering of gay teens forced into conversion therapy. The very real threats to the lives of LGBT people in places like Chechnya and Jamaica. Yeah, because they'll kill the shit out of you in Jamaica over that. Or the lifelong emotional trauma that's so widespread among queer people everywhere. Now, I'm not condoning getting killed, the shit out of that.
No.
The Lord should give the judgment for those things.
Right.
Really, so, you know, our Jamaican brothers and sisters, our Benjamin brothers and sisters are a little off at doing that. It's the scriptures. And we're making inroads there, right? I use that term specifically inroads.
Right, we definitely don't condone any of that. I mean, that's not,
right,
that,
right,
we,
right.
Under Christ, we got grace.
Titus 1 and 9 says sound doctrine. You want to convert, exhort and convince them.
Right, absolutely.
All
right,
that they need to leave that lifestyle. Best concluded, you had a choice to refuse the call up and then, and to then speak publicly about why you did so. I hope now you'll make the choice to listen. Hinkle spoke her truth based on her experience. So did Bess. There is an argument to be made that Hinkle's truth simply does not allow Bess' truth, that Hinkle is deciding before understanding. But there is also an argument to be made that if Hinkle is jeered for a personal choice out of faith that doesn't negatively affect anyone else, we aren't much of a tolerant society. And this is what I'm talking about when I say that for them, it's not tolerance. They want you to accept it and embrace
it.
That's all it is. Because she's being jeered. It doesn't affect anybody. If anything, it affects her life. She turned down that dream to play for the national team.
Right.
And she's being ostracized for that.
She's never going to get an opportunity to that opportunity again.
She worked hard
for that all her life. And let me tell you, athletes work hard.
This is the hypocrisy of the Alphabet movement.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This came during an embarrassing week in American culture. A famous TV star spewed racist and anti-Semitic venom about an African-American leader and an international philanthropist. And a TV comedian used a terrible word to slam the president's daughter. She called her a cunt. I don't think that's a terrible word. Roseanne called the other one a freaking monkey. All right. I'm sure within her own circles, her own friends, Trump's daughter, they call each other cunts. That's like a chill word that they use for each other.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Right. The ensuring social media maelstrom overshadowed needed attention to news of an unbearable death toll from Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico. So that got less news because everybody was talking about Roseanne and the comedian. I forgot something best her name is in about their comments online. All this comes in the days before the June 12th anniversary of the Pulse massacre, which deeply scarred both the Puerto Rican community and the gay community. Whether you side with Hinkle or with Beth, it's hard to feel like we're paying attention to the right things.
Mm-hmm.
One way to address that is to try to figure out what life like for someone living in doubt or fear. Some fear is mortal fear. Some is ridicule. Some is society at large refuses to accommodate your views. It's all a variation of fear, and it's all isolating those. It says here in the United States, our social media community is often a cesspool. But our sports venues usually aren't. The U.S. women's team is the best in the world, and it has players that embrace both religion and tolerance. That was the message of the Pride Month jersey itself. Red, white, and blue on the front, rainbow colors on the back. It is a distinctly American message worth heeding. Work to diminish fear and celebrate courage. So, you know, he's trying to hedge himself, I think, in this article as he closes it out with that.
Right.
But the point I want to make, I mean, it's like Cap was saying earlier. Reporters were always supposed to be unbiased and neutral.
Objective.
And I think that's hard, man. I couldn't be a reporter just because of that. You know, I mean, it's hard to not inject your.
You're
going to
be biased
at
some
stuff
point.
Like
right.
that. In
you
some
to.
Way, it's going to show through, right?
Yeah, everybody's biased about something.
Right, right. And I can kind of read the undertones of this guy. You know, he's trying to put like a very partial thing out there, but I feel like he's also making a stance and saying like, you know, tolerance is one thing, acceptance is another. Like, you have to realize the magnitude of what this woman did that didn't affect anybody but herself to stand in her convictions. And if anything, that should be seen, right, in their eyes as patriotic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, isn't that what happened during the revolution?
Mm-hmm.
That these Edomites here took a stand against those things,
mm-hmm.
and some could say from the British side, you could say they called them traitors.
Hey, and that was against the law. That's actually
treason.
That's what I'm saying. It was
treason.
They were
yeah.
traitors. From if you look at it from yeah. the perspective of the United Kingdom of the Brits,
but it's okay.
Because at that time it was Great Britain, right?
Great Britain.
It's not United Kingdom. Great Britain,
right?
They were traitors.
They called it the American Revolution.
Right.
The American Revolution. But yet, your thoughts, okay, if they're not, they're against what society says, you're revolutionary, but in a wrong, in a negative connotation.
Right.
So let me try to bring this all together here so that I can make kind of my penultimate point, right? You know how we always talk about repentance is revolutionary,
right?
Revolutionaries are never embraced or accepted unless their revolution is successful.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Stay with me. So prior to that acceptance of their revolution, outside of those that are part of their revolution, they are seen as treasonous, traitors,
mm-hmm.
rebellious, everything
mm-hmm.
else. All right.
Mm-hmm. Anti-American.
All the denominations of Christianity are not seen that way, nothing like that. Repentance is your revolution, and when the kingdom comes, the difference is we know we're going to win. Mm-hmm. When the kingdom comes, you won't be seen in the negative light. You will be seen as a positive revolutionary. The books are being written on you and what your contribution was to this walk. And, oh, because of the labors that this brother did or that sister did or these brothers or that group did, there's going to be a commemoration of those people in the kingdom that helped and fought to bring that thing about. You're a revolutionary if you speak out against the alphabet movement. You're a revolutionary if you speak out against the whoredoms, against the whoremongering, against the things of this
interracial
world.
Interracial marriage.
Interracial marriage and all those things. Understand, brothers and sisters, your salvation is nigh. When you were called those things, when you were ostracized for those things, embrace the hatred, embrace the trials and troubles that you go through for the truth. I do have to put an asterisk there because some people got simple mentalities and they put themselves in predicaments and situations and say that they're
in the name of the Lord.
That it's in the name of the Lord. No, I'm talking about true things like this sister. If some of you might have a profession or whatever, and there's a choice you got to make. All right. You need to choose the Lord in that because, listen, why are you going to choose the losing side? If you understand the Bible and you decide to choose the losing side, shame on you. Because the side that's going to win, all right, is predestined and determined. We're the modern revolutionaries. We are the spiritual revolutionaries fighting against principalities and powers in high places, all right? Spiritually, all right? Not physically. We will not take up arms. We will not be over there fighting to try to overthrow governments physically, protesting physically. But spiritually, with the power of these scriptures, just like you read in Judith 5, 20 and 21, right? Just like you read in Judith 5, that's what's going to bring us about to our salvation, brothers. All these things are important. The truth is important because it matters. And it matters because the truth is what's going to make you aware of what the final outcome is. Don't let nobody deceive you. This is why the scripture says it's going to be so strong in those last days that some will deceive the very elect.
Yep.
Don't let someone take your crown.
Right. That means that scripture is saying you're going to second guess. That's where they're deceiving.
You're going to second guess.
You're going to fight all the way through and, yeah, I'm an Israelite. And you're going to be deceived.
And you will be deceived. You will fall into this thing. Mm-hmm. It's powerful, seductive deception to be part of the religion of what America is. And it is a religion. Democracy and politics is a religion. It is seductive.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, we didn't even get to go to something. You know how seductive it is? That you got these people crossing the border getting shot by Border Patrol. I didn't get to talk about that. We don't have a lot of time. I got like 2 minutes left. All right. But understand. Understand the revolution is keeping these commandments, brothers and sisters. We must repent. These things are spoken about. We have this dialogue in our sincere prayer and hope. That even just one will listen. Listen, it don't matter that the show don't have a bunch of numbers. That'd be great if it did, as we build a wider audience. But you can make your mark. You can do your thing. That's why we always tell you, like, share. Something as simple as, you're on social media anyway.
Just hit the share button.
And what he called as the cesspool of that. And if you just go ahead and share.
As you're scrolling.
And then on other shares as you're scrolling. All right, and all that stuff, you can make a difference, all right, in this prefix fight, in this revolution.
And if you don't, it's because you don't believe.
Right. We're in the midst of a revolution. We really are, all right? And it's a spiritual one. And it's returning to our heritage and keeping these laws, statutes, and commandments. Crazy. So, all right, we got about a minute and a half left. I don't know if anybody wants to say anything else.
Man, we thank the kingdom of heaven. That's all
I can
say, man.
That's right.
You know, time is short, man. There's a lot going on, man.
That's right. Hey, and time short could be. I live and my grand and my kids live and they have kids, but it's short in that. I don't know. We in those last days. I'll tell you that. The scripture tells you, remember, at the time of Ezra, it says that it's divided into 12 parts. Mm-hmm. And he said 10 and a half was already passed.
That was the time of Ezra.
Mm-hmm. He said 10 and a half was already part.
That means
was an hour and a half left. Mm-hmm. What that means, I don't know. I don't know how many thousands that is. I don't know how many. I mean, there's been at least 2,000 since then.
At least 2,000.
2,500.
Yes.
We might have an hour, less than that. We don't know. But we do know it's short. Because we're seeing what we're living today. I'm telling you, the Sodom thing is always in my head, man, because We went from it not being accepted, and it's back like in Greek times, bro. I'm telling you, it's back like in Grecian times.
Nothing new under the sun.
Where it's just real casual.
Yep. And so fast.
And it happened so fast. It was the blink of an eye, and it's real casual. You're going to see the next things coming. You're going to see it.
It's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yep. Anyway, this is the Native Latin and Black Lords History Show. All right, we're signing off. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.